So we're going to be starting a little further down in verse 25. And Paul says this, "If we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit." He begins, "If we live by the Spirit." And church, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have trusted Him in faith, we do. If we live by the Spirit, and we do. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." It's the Spirit giving us life, and not just at some future time. Not just after death. Here, now. Eternal life is a length of life, but it's also a quality of life. It's the Spirit allowing us, inviting us in to share the very life of God and step into that. If we live by the Spirit, and we do, walk in step with the Spirit. Go the same direction the Spirit is going. Don't be way out front trying to get ahead of what God is doing. Don't be lagging behind. Don't turn aside. Don't grieve the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. And there's many times that can take a lot of prayer and discernment. But also, we sometimes forget there are things that the Spirit is just always on board for. Praising and lifting up the name of Jesus, the Spirit is always on board for. Unity within the body of Christ, within the church, the Spirit is always on board for. How many times throughout the letters are we pointed to the unity that the Spirit is trying to bring? And that's exactly where Paul goes in verse 26. He says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." There are things that can hinder walking with the Spirit because it hinders the unity the Spirit is trying to bring. Becoming conceited, prideful, boasting without cause. Provoking one another. Challenging one another. Stirring up fights. Envying one another. Being jealous either of what someone has or how they're being used. All of these put us out of step with the Spirit, but what would it look like in the everyday life of a church to walk in step with the Spirit? That's exactly where Paul goes next in chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So he's giving us a scenario. This is where the rubber meets the road. What would it look like for a community to walk in step with the Spirit? And he goes, "Let me give you a situation. Suppose someone's caught in a transgression. Someone's overcome by sin. They're struggling, wrestling with sin in their life. What do we do?" And yes, Paul's presenting is a little bit of a hypothetical, but we don't have to be in a church community too long to realize it's not that hypothetical. We don't have to be in a church community too long to realize we're all still in the process of being transformed into the image of Christ. We're all still wrestling with sin. We're all still leaning into the mercy and grace of Jesus. Paul says, if this happens, And then he starts speaking to those who are spiritual. That can sound a little odd to my own ears, but all he means is exactly what he said previously. Those who are spiritual, those who are living by the Spirit, those who are walking in step with the Spirit, those are the people he's talking to. And what's the goal? The goal is to step into that situation and to restore. And to restore with Spirit-powered gentleness and humility. When we do this, when God taps us on the shoulder, shows us a brother or a sister who is struggling, wrestling with sin, and God taps us on the shoulder to come alongside that person in a spirit of gentleness and help restore, we're doing nothing less than walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus, who in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Does the church community know you as a person they can come to and find gentleness and rest? And so Paul gets to kind of the crux of this. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." What's the law of Christ that he's talking about? In John chapter 15, verses 10 and 12, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's great, Jesus, but what is the commandments? Can you nail it down for us? And he moves from plural to singular. This is my commandment. This is it. This is what it comes down to. How do you abide in my love just as I abide in the Father's love? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we are to bear one another's burdens, and that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. Especially what Paul has in mind here is burdens of sin. Burdens of wrestling with sin. How do the struggles with sin in our lives become known so that people can come alongside us in this way? There's a couple of ways. One way it happens is we try and hide it, ignore it, deal with it ourselves, and it gets larger and spreads to more and more areas of our lives until it's metastasized so much that it becomes obvious to everyone. That's not the recommended way to do that. We've all seen the pain and destruction that can cause in individual lives and the relationships that surround it. But there's another way this process can start. Do you know someone who tries to carry too many things at once? Our little one, our oldest son, is about 2.5. And his world revolves around vehicles of any type, size, does not matter. And so it's a fairly common scene at our house to see him carrying around 7, 8 vehicles. And he will come up to you and go, "Which one you want?" Which is his way of saying, "You probably should take a vehicle and start playing vehicles with me." But it's also a common scene at our house to see him trip, and the vehicles go everywhere. We can sometimes try and carry too many things ourselves. I was that kid when mom got home from the grocery store, It might kill me, but it was going to take one trip to get everything in. But especially when it comes to matters of sin, there are practices in Scripture of confession, of opening up your life to others. People in the community who you trust, who you see as someone who is walking in step with the Spirit, who you see as someone who has that spirit of gentleness, and coming to that person and going, look, can I just confess some things to you? Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And there are many times when I have come to Jesus in prayer and gone, Lord, would you help me with this? Would you strengthen me in this area? Would you help me to resist this temptation? Lord, would you restore? Would you heal? Please. And hear me, that's a great place to be. But what if too often in the back of my mind, the unspoken part of that request is, Lord, would you heal this so no one has to find out? Would you restore me so I don't have to tell anybody? Would you help me keep this thing hidden? And as God looks down, he says, I've already given you a process, a family. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Main point, first part of it, we love one another by carrying some things together. And this could apply to a lot of areas, right? Bear one another's burdens. It could be burdens of sickness. We come along those people and pray for healing and help them. It could be burdens of financial struggles and we come alongside and help. And it could be burdens of grief and we come alongside and sit and mourn with. But to me, burdens of sin, this is the hard one. This is the one that is so easy for me to mess up. And I think Paul realizes this. That's why in this passage, look, what do we learn about the person who's caught up in a transgression, who's struggling with sin? That's all we know. That's all we need to know. But Paul puts the focus on the one God is working through to restore and has all sorts of advice for that person. Paul realizes this is easy to mess up. The work of restoration can only happen as the spirit of gentleness and humility. And look where he goes next. Keep watch on yourselves lest you too be tempted. I think there's a couple of ways we can be tempted in these situations. One is that we are often going to have the same desires that are tripping up this brother and sister in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common. As I was thinking about this, I remember a story my dad would tell. This is back when he was dating my mom, and he went over to my mom's parents' house to spend the evening with her and her parents and her family. And as he's driving up there, they're down a bit of a lane, and it winds, and it's been snowing, and it's icy, and he hits a patch of ice, and that car slides right off the driveway into a cornfield. And he's embarrassed, and he doesn't know what to do, so he gets out and goes up to the house and just kind of spends the rest of the evening with her and her family because he's scared to call dad. But he can't avoid it. He's not walking home. So eventually he picks up the phone and calls my grandfather. And my grandfather's none too happy, not the least because he's waited several hours and now it's getting dark. But they come, they pick him up, they take him home. And the next day, my grandmother, grandfather, and my dad are driving out to try and get the car out. And the whole way, my grandfather is telling my dad what he should have done, how this could have been avoided, how he could have been more careful. You know where this is going, right? And as they go down that driveway, my grandfather, who's driving, hits that very same patch of ice. And that car slot, bang, right up against the other one. But how often we can be like this when we step into someone's life to try and restore them, and there's not a spirit of gentleness there, and we can get tripped up ourselves. Yes, sometimes in the same desires that this person is struggling with, but all too often there's a bigger danger. There's a danger of pride. Look at where Paul goes from here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Pride is a danger in this situation. Paul says, look, as you step into someone's life, as the Spirit prompts you and shows you a brother or sister who is struggling with sin, and God taps you on the shoulder to step in and by Spirit power, gentleness to restore, be careful. Be careful lest you also be tempted. Be careful because if anyone thinks he is something, man, God's using me to help this person. I must be pretty cool. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, when we don't realize it is only by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God guiding us that God is able to do this through us. So he says, look, test your own work. Now, he's not recommending boasting. But he's saying if you're going to have an overinflated opinion of yourself, at least have done the due diligence to examine your own life, your own heart, your own works, your own mind. Down in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, but far be it for me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. But more damage can be done by comparing ourselves to others. If I go to the skating rink, I'm not a particularly good skater. But if I'm skating somewhat unsteadily around, and the person next to me just absolutely falls, wipes out, there's something in my heart and mind that starts feeling like a better skater. Don't judge your own spiritual maturity by looking at those around you who are stumbling. Test your own work. Ask God to help you to examine your own life. As you step into these situations to try and restore in a spirit of gentleness, is your focus on your own character and actions as relates to God, or on your own character and actions as relates to others? Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Look, church, if someone does come to you, says, look, can I confess some things? Will you pray with me? Will you walk with me through this? Do me a favor. Before you meet with them, after you meet with them each and every time, read this parable. What an antidote to self-righteousness. Paul ends this section by saying something that might be a little puzzling. He's already told us to carry one another's burdens. And yet he ends the passage by saying, each must bear his own load. How are we to understand that? You see, what I find is many times when Paul is presenting something of a puzzle, he wants you to focus in on it. He wants you to solve it. He wants you to think about it. He's just trying to get your attention so that you focus in. There's two words that are used here. I'm not much of a languages person, but we're going to try it a little bit, okay? There are two different words here. The first word, this is the one when he talks about bearing one another's burdens, is baros in Greek. And it means pretty much what you would expect. It's something heavy, something weighty, something to be carried, something troublesome. Well, no duh, it's a burden. But when he gets down to each must bear his own load, fortion is the Greek word. And it means something a little different. It can be heavy. It can be weighty. It doesn't have to be. It's still something to be carried. But the connotation here is of cargo, the thing you would load onto a ship, load onto a caravan. It's something that is your responsibility. It is something that has been entrusted to you. If the Amazon driver is driving down the road and goes, these packages are a burden, I'm just going to chuck them into a cornfield. No, they're cargo. They're his responsibility. They're something that's been entrusted to that person. Let's dive into that second one. Fortion, the sense of cargoes, of responsibility and obligation, something that's been entrusted to you. Look at how Jesus uses this word a couple of times. In Matthew 23, verses 2 through 4, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens. And this is that word, right? The cargo that they're tying up, he's specifically stating it's heavy. It's hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them a finger. What a juxtaposition when Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, the cargo, the thing that I'm entrusting to you, the responsibility, that's light. And so Paul, as Paul encourages the community to help one another, to bear one another's burdens, especially as regards to sin, what happens if something comes out about my life, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, you come rushing and you're helping to lift this thing? And I go, great, I'm done. And I just drop it. No, even as we bear one another's burdens, each one must bear his own load. But thank God that we get to put down, put aside, throw off the heavy burden of sin, and instead lean into the light load of discipleship to Jesus. We get something of the idea in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, when Paul says to his kind of apprentice Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We love one another by carrying some things together, but we love one another by carrying some things on our own, by leaning into discipleship to Jesus. And yet, church, even the phrasing of that doesn't really meet the reality, because we know we are never alone. Even if there are times where the church community around us lets us down, even if there are times where we may be struggling and there aren't necessarily people there to bear our burdens, times when we feel incredibly alone. That happened to Jesus. As the majority of his disciples left when his teachings became hard, and he turned to the 12 and said, do you want to leave too? At the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked his disciples to pray with him, and repeatedly they fell asleep, and finally he said, could you not just pray with me for an hour? As he was arrested and his disciples fled and Peter denied him, there are times in the Christian walk of loneliness. Paul experienced these. Later on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul said, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me when he was on trial, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Even in these moments of feeling alone, there is one who stands by us, who strengthens us. To him be the glory. But we as a church, we love one another by carrying some things together and by carrying some things alone. Diane's going to close us in prayer here in a few minutes. But what does this mean going into this week? Few things. As a community and as individuals, can we build practices of self-examination? Can we be aware enough of our own lives to know if we need to go to someone for confession? Can we be aware enough of our own lives to know if pride and self-righteousness is there? Secondly, as a community and as individuals, will we lean into discipleship to Jesus? Will we pick up that load so that we can be ready for those times when someone is struggling? Thirdly, as a community and as individuals, will we prioritize confession and openness? Do you have someone in this body of Christ, or a friend or a loved one? Do you have someone who you see them walking to the Spirit? You see the spirit of gentleness in them. You've built into that relationship enough, you can go to them and say, look, can I confess to you? Will you pray for me? Find those people. And lastly, as a community and as individuals, if God taps you on the shoulder, shows you someone who is struggling, will we respond with gentleness and strive for restoration? This is how we walk in step with the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, walk in step with the Spirit. May we walk in step with the Spirit this week.
This is what I heard. Serve one another with love. Walk in step with the Spirit. Bear one another's burdens. Lean into the mercy and grace of Jesus. And again, bear one another's burdens. Let us pray. Father, while most people see spring as a time of new life and hope, some are still weary and are having a hard time holding on to hope. Spring is a wonderful reminder that God can bring back to life that which seems dead. In the same way, spring is a symbol of hope for those who may be going through a difficult season in their lives. Dear Lord, I want to lift those who have lost or are losing hope. I pray that they would find that you are our one true hope, that in you we have a hope like no other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next week, Richard Fields from Helping Hands will be here to talk about his mission. And so if you watch this video and when it's over, you are dismissed and have a blessed, wonderful, good temperature day.